Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Empower Me Now. I'm Dr. Faye, and as you know, Empower Me Now is a radio broadcast that features special guests who have a specialized vision and mission for the kingdom of God, people who are movers and shakers for the glory of God, who are writing, who are singing, who are dancing, who are preaching, praising God, or who have a business idea and a venture. And if you're one of those people, we invite you to contact our office at support@drfaye.com, and you too can be a guest here, just like the guest today. And her name is Parashan B. Hall. Parashan B. Hall. She's a professional speaker who inspires people like you and I in the areas of personal and professional development. Her passion is polishing people into purpose with precision. She's known for her vivacious and engaging personality. Parashan has illumined the following professionals and ministry platforms. How do you like that word, illumined?
Yeah. Illumined. Yes, you got it.
Yeah. Seminar, workshop, facilitators, news reporter, producer, TV, radio show producer, radio personality, worship leader, and MC and stage performer. She's a prolific writer, and that's what has brought her to this show today, is because of a book that she's written called My Mama Told Me. Wow. That is so powerful. Parashan, welcome to Empower Me Now.
Thank you, Dr. Faye. I am thrilled to be here.
Well, it is exciting. We had to go through a couple little hurdles to get her on the show. She's a busy lady, and so we had to make it work and to create an atmosphere and a time where she could come in and share her vision, her mission. And, Parashan, you are a native of Dallas, Texas.
I am indeed a proud native, nonetheless.
Yeah,
Born and raised in Dallas, Texas.
Born and raised in Dallas. I lived in Dallas for about 8 years. I believe absolutely loved the city, loved the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Would not have left, say, for the call of God, saying, time to leave.
time to go
into other spaces. So that's what I have done. But I am glad to be connected with you today and to talk a little bit about your past, your passion, your vision, your mission, what God has called you to do. This book, My Mama Told Me, it says motherly wisdom for everyday living. And just looking at the back, encapsulating a little bit so that you can talk more about this, is that the children are crying. Can't you hear them? Where are the fathers? Where are the mothers? There is a loud cry in the land. It's the children's cry that emanates from God's cry. Many parents are MIA, and consequently, the state of the world today is a clear indication that something has gone horribly wrong. Nevertheless, from God's perspective, the parental role hasn't been negated. Author Parashan B. Hall is here today to talk to us about why she feels that the children are crying.
Well, I was one of those children crying in the land. My mama told me was inspired by my own mother, first of all, my own mother, and who has gone on to be with the Lord, but she left me a legacy of love here to share with the world, and she became a single parent after my parents' divorce. I was in the fourth grade. I have two brothers, one older, one younger. And so I grew up in a house of family violence where my father was abused my mother physically, and it was just a volatile, unsafe environment. So the children were crying. I was crying. I wanted peace in the home, and I did what I could to help establish that peace. As a child, can you imagine, helped to help protect my mother, who ultimately and eventually by the fifth grade got us out of that situation. So it is a commendation to her, to motherhood, and certainly most of all to godly parenting, because the children are crying. The children were crying then, but they're crying. The cry is louder now, and it seems that the ears of the parents Many of the parents have gone deaf. So I have been chosen as one of the ones to speak on behalf of the children, to awaken the parents, to give some instruction and wisdom that I received, you know, and the example that my mother provided to help save families, because that's the heart of the Lord. God is concerned about families, and we know that the family system, the marital system, has been under attack.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been one of the ones that has been called to address the issues of the family.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's this book is so interesting, and I identify with it in so many ways. Growing up in a family where there's a lot of violence, because abuse is violence, you know, we can call it whatever, but it is violence, one person toward another.
Yes.
And so you as a child watching your mother, suffer this abuse of your father, how do you think this affected you internally? Because there are many people who will listen to this program, and some are women who are still now in those abusive situations, and we can go, God knows, for days and days to talk about the number of women who live in those type of situations. But I, from a child's perspective, if you can recall, and since you are the author of this book, you had to recall, and I know as an author myself, we have to go back to those moments that we want to bring light to those situations. What was the kind of feelings that you were experiencing as a child?
The greatest and the most overwhelming feeling was fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can as I look back on it now, I can see how the Lord was attuning me to my purpose, even in the midst of that horrible situation, because I was able to cue in on or discern when trouble was about to break out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned to be proactive in trying to stop it before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that looked like me pleading with my father to not harm my mother. And I was successful sometimes, other times I wasn't. But I was always in the middle of it trying to protect her, to stop, because I was afraid, and I was lived with the fear of losing my mother, because her life during that time was threatened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a threatening, very fearful environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and my mother did what she could to comfort me, comfort us, you know, with three of us, we all took on different roles in that household. My older brother, he was the rebel. So he was the type, and, you know, we're all in elementary school at this point. So he was the type to call the police. He's like, he hated my father, and he's like, I'm getting on the phone. And by the time he could get to the phone, my father had hung up the phone. And, of course, me, as I mentioned, I was the one in the middle trying to rescue my mom, trying to make peace. And then my younger brother, he was the hider. So whenever something was going on, the domestic violence was going on, you couldn't find him anywhere. I mean, he literally was hiding in a closet.
Mm.
And so it just broke out fear. And my older brother was more angry and rebellious as a result. So, and it put, you know, it put us all in a codependent situation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember as a child not really, you know how children are supposed to, it really took my childhood. You know, I didn't have a childhood. I think that's one of the reasons why now, as a grown adult woman, I enjoy the little girl in me. And she will come out and have
mm-hmm.
fun, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm more childlike now. God has given me grace to be that way, because it was literally robbed in the home years ago. So, but yeah, that it's so important for children to be able to be children. And as parents, one of the things I've said is that if parents are not parents, then children cannot be children.
Right.
You know, and the fight is to preserve the innocence and the mm-hmm. safety of children. And even though I was in an abusive home environment, my mother did what she could, you know, to protect us. To, I mean, he never, my dad never harmed us, you know, in that way. He was just violent towards my mother. So, so I had to care. I learned to caretake very early,
mm-hmm.
you know, which was not, you know, it's purposeful, but it was really not really the place of a child.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the role that I assumed. And then I began to feel like throughout my childhood that if I wasn't there, then my mother couldn't be safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you think about children and how they're supposed to, well, children are supposed to, that's your exploration stage in life. You know, you're finding out what you like to do. You're playing, you know, it's all about you, you know.
Right.
But for me, it was all about keeping my mother safe
mm-hmm.
for a long time.
And many children normally take that role as the protector, the caretaker, and why mm-hmm. that's built in us, I really have no explanation for it except that it is that way because it is that way, that as
mm-hmm.
a child we're growing up because I, too, have been in that situation, and you're growing up and you see this abuse and you feel like there should be something that you can do. Something
mm-hmm.
that you can say, or maybe you can fix it. And many times, the wife, who is typically the abused woman, you know, there are men who are abused also, are in that situation where they feel like they can fix it, they can change, or they
mm-hmm.
shouldn't have done certain things, and they become guilty. They feel guilty about not being able to prevent that person from abusing them. So children carry a weight, and many times from childhood into adulthood, because of
right.
living in situations that are abusive because of the language, the you know, just the constant. But one of the things that you praised your mother for was that she had the wherewithal to get out of that situation.
Yes,
and move her children along. Unlike many mothers like mine who stayed in it, yours was your mom was able to move on. And I believe that that's when the lessons of life really began, when you saw your mother moving along in her life.
Absolutely.
And she was able to minister to you along the way. So let's pick it up there. The moment that your mom decided to divorce your dad or to move out, let our listeners know what happened.
Okay. Well, it just, she saw how afraid her children were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad made threats to my older brother, literally telling him at one point that I'm going to kill her, you know. And so my mother came home that evening, and we told her that what he said, what my father had said to us, to my older brother. And so we said, you know, we don't want to stay here tonight. We were too afraid to stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember my mother, because of what we were saying, my mother packed us up some clothes, some overnight clothes, to go stay at a friend's house. So that was really the beginning of her escaping. And I remember my mother telling me, she said the only reason she didn't leave sooner was because she didn't believe she could take care of three children by herself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she reached some point during that time that she was already doing that. She was taking care of three children by herself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that gave her the strength to leave. She even told me, you know, there were days during the abuse that she just didn't want to wake up. You know, she had gotten down to 99 pounds at one point, and she just didn't want to wake up. She was ahead of her time. She was seeing a psychiatrist and getting counseling. In the black community, we know certainly back in the 70s, that was unheard of.
Sure.
But she was a trailblazer in that right. So she gained the strength, and she said, you know, the Lord really impressed upon her heart that, hey, you've got to live for these children. These children need you. So with his strength, she was able to muster up enough strength to move us out, and she moved us way across town. You know, my mother was the type, she never really went back. If it was bad memories, you know, sometimes I guess the memories for her were just too painful to revisit.
Mm-hmm.
So she never revisited those places,
mm-hmm.
you know, the place where we live. I've been back a few times, you know, remembering just not, I mean, certainly the bad memories, but there were a few good things I do remember. But she was not
yeah.
the type to go back.
Right. Right. Well, you know, that scripture, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So those of you who are listening, if you're in an abusive situation, and I didn't want to spend a lot of time there, but it bears respect that we've got to talk to women who are in that situation, because Parashan has come through, has grown up and out of an abusive home where violence was part of the culture of that family, and her mom had the unctioning to move out and to save herself as well as her children. And those of you who are listening who may be in situations right now and you're feeling like you're stuck and you can't move, you can't get out, unless you're chained down to the house some way, you can walk. You can mobilize your legs. You can get out of that situation. And as we're in the 21st century now. We're talking about a woman who lived in the 20th century and in a time where not only there was a great racial divide in the 70s, still in the 70s, there was also this religious thinking that you should never get a divorce. You should never leave your man. You should not. You just take it. You just take whatever you take. You take it.
Mm.
And that's the culture that existed in those days. And here's a woman, Parashan's mom, who decided that she was not of the culture. She was not of the natural circumstance. She was just not going to be. This woman was defiant of social norms.
Yes.
She did something that very few women, see, I don't know your mama, but I know your mama, you know?
Yes.
She did something that very few women would have dared to do.
Mm-hmm.
Leave your man, leave your husband, leave your home, take your children and run for your life.
Right.
Very few did that. There were women who were still dying because they're trying to hold on to a man, trying to hold on to the house. I can name hundreds of women that I've met over the eons of time who have stayed, and to their own hurt, to their own harm. So, ladies, if you are in a situation and you're being abused, you need to get out. You need to make a 911 for yourself and your children. And many women will say exactly the answer, Parashan, that your mom gave you is, I didn't know if I could take care of three children. I'll try 13. Try 10. Regardless of how many children you have, your life is worth saving.
Yes.
Your children are worth saving. You don't know what damage it does to your children, ladies, when you continue to stay with an abusive man because you think the money is right. You're afraid that there won't be a roof over your head. Believe me when I tell you, if you will get out, the community will rally behind you. If you will get out, there will be people that will come to your aid and support. If you will just take the first step, it will be a step of faith. And you have to step out of the boat and decide that you're not going to go back in, just like Parashan's mom. Decide that you're not going to go back in that boat. It was too crowded. Too crowded means too many fists upside your head. Too crowded means to being called names that you don't deserve. Too crowded means that you're being deprived emotionally, sexually, physically, financially. It's too crowded in there for you and your soul. So it's time to exit. Some of you need to plan your exit strategy and get on up out of there and save your children from an emotional distress for life, and that you too can be able to start over again. God has a plan for your life. You got to trust God above that paycheck that you think he's bringing in. He's not helping you when he's hurting you. There is no help in hurting.
Amen.
It's hurt. So Parashan, your mom comes out of this situation. She starts a new life. And she begins to teach you some very, very valuable lessons in life. And I just want to just kind of go over these chapters, just to highlight these chapters in this book. And we're going to give you guys this information. Parashan, why don't you go ahead while I'm turning to your page, your content page here. Go ahead and tell people how to buy this book, because I know people want to buy it now. They just want to go ahead and get the book. And so, Dr. Faye, I hear you. Let me just go get the book.
Okay, thank you. It's available at my website, parashan.com. That's PERISEAN.com. It is also available on Amazon. So, and the title of the book, again, is My Mama Told Me, Motherly Wisdom for Everyday Living.
go there now and get the book. Make a note to get the book, because you can come back and re-listen to this radio broadcast. It will be an archive, or if you're listening to it on YouTube or wherever you're listening to it in social media, you can go back, mark it, go back and get it again. There's some very powerful chapters in here. I mean, all of the book is extremely powerful. It's inspirational, it's motivational, and very encouraging. And I would
like to
see every person that's in an abusive relationship get their hands on this book, Parashan, just to talk about the victory. This woman in this era, man, I can't get away from that, that in the 70s she left. In the 70s she left.
Yes, she did.
And I'm sure she was condemned by the church and everybody else, but she did what she needed to do. Go ahead.
Well, as a matter of fact, she really had the support of her church. My mother was a church organist. And I remember some of her friends telling me years later that sometimes they would see her, before she left, to see her come to church with bruising, you know. But we had a loving church community that wrapped their arms around us. So we did not, in this sense, thank God, experience any persecution from the church. So
thank God.
Yes, praise God for that. It was a, you know, once we left the house, you know, and here's a, I think it's a good point. Once you leave that environment that that particular abuser owns, mm-hmm. when you move into your own environment, you know, own your own environment. And it just takes on a whole new level, because my father did keep in touch with us. But once my mother left that house, he no longer came towards her as an abuser.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking about that now. And the other part is, you know, too many women feel like they have to have a man in their life. And that gets us into trouble. The only person we have to have is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to show us what he can do, because we have a warped view of what love and care really is all about. But the Father wants to show us just that. And I believe he definitely showed that to my mother once she was able to get from under that, from out of that darkness into his light, and how he provided that we began to see miracles that occurred, you know, when mother worked three jobs and was trying to, you know, working to put food on the table and losing jobs, you know, bad jobs. She even left a couple of jobs because it was just bad, you know. So she really didn't put up with a whole lot, and she protected her children. I remember she was out of work for a little while. We were praying. This is one of the miracles. She always, me being the only girl, she always grabbed my hand and said, "Hey, we're going to go pray." So I remember one time we didn't have food, you know, we didn't have rent. We were facing eviction. So my mother said, "Come on, we're going to go pray." And we knelt beside my bed and we prayed. And while we were praying, it's like that story in the Bible when Peter was in jail.
Right.
Was that Peter?
Rhoda answered the door.
Yeah. while we were praying,
mm-hmm.
somebody was knocking at the door,
mm-hmm.
and so we went to the door, and there was this church that was in our community. Not our church. We were in our church was located somewhere else, but church nearby us where we live. They were knocking on the door. They came in the door with a rent check. And they came in with groceries.
Mm.
Now, my mother had a friend that was a member of this church, and the friend told my mother nothing of, you know, what she was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so she contacted her church, and next thing we know, here we've got rent paid. We've got, you know, a job opportunity for my mother,
mm-hmm.
and we've got groceries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example.
While we were praying.
While we were yet praying, God was answering. And so that's just one example. And God wants us to trust. I learned how to pray with my mother. You know, when times got hard, I knew what I needed to do, and that was to pray. I knew that I needed, if I'm in a bad situation, I knew I needed to step into faith, you know, to believe God. That I knew that I didn't have to put up with something that was not good for me, not healthy for me.
Mm-hmm.
So she taught me a lot of what I didn't have to put up with, you know, and how I could get answers,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and then she gave another example of, my mother dated a few times, but she never brought men around us. And we knew that we were always her priority. I think that is huge, and that lesson definitely needs to be taught today, because I've seen it. Too many women are putting these men, these so-called men, who are a lot of times, if they're abusers, are still little boys in men's suits. They're putting these men ahead of their children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're putting their own needs ahead of their children. So when you're a parent, that's not the time to put your needs before your children, you know, when your kids are small.
Well, we can't give away what we don't possess if we haven't learned to self-love.
Right.
You know, if you haven't learned
right.
to love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. And
right.
so the church has a responsibility, and men and women of God have a responsibility to teach the gospel
yes.
and to reach out to people that are hurting, to reach out to communities again, and to find
yes.
ways of reaching the single moms that are hurting, because desperation will lead you to do desperate things.
Right,
and
right.
when you have bills to pay, and there's more month at the end of the money than money at the
right.
end of the month, so you
right.
feel that you have to do something because you haven't developed this trusting, loving relationship with the Lord God. You hear the
mm-hmm.
preacher say, well, God will deliver, but that doesn't mean anything to you. Those are preacher
Come
words.
On.
They're
right.
not my everyday waking, walking, talking life words. Those are preacher
mm-hmm.
words. And so
mm-hmm.
the preachers have to come out of the pulpit of pulling people in the pit and go and pull some
mm-hmm.
out of the pit and
right.
be men and women of integrity, men and women with compassion and mercy that will be able to sense, as it were, in your mother's day, how that church came to her, came
mm-hmm.
bringing food, came
right.
bringing money, came bringing
mm-hmm.
blessings. While
right.
you guys were praying, God was already moving. You know,
right.
they didn't bag
right.
the groceries at that moment. They were already in progress. God already knew that. And
right.
but your mom, you guys had to see the result of stepping out in faith. And
yes.
ladies and gentlemen, take this lesson and say, you know what? Here's a family who stepped out. Here's a mom who got tired of having black eyes and bruises and was led out. And God brought her out, delivered her, and she was able to raise her children with the help of God and the church and loving and kind people, because there are always people God will send along the way. There's always
yes.
people. But you'll never know the results of stepping out if you don't step out. You'll wonder if. What if I had moved? What if I had
right.
taken that step of faith? If you take it, then you will know.
Right.
If you take
right.
it, you will begin to experience it. And Parashan, once your mom left that house, and I heard what you said, once she left, you know, he did not come there because he did not have authority there. He did not
right.
have dominion there. He
That's
lost
right.
authority because she came from underneath his leadership, underneath
That's
that
right.
dark cloud, and she created
yes.
her own establishment. And David, the psalmist says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to be seated in the congregation of the wicked. I'd rather
Amen.
Be living in
Amen.
A treehouse than in
That's
a
right.
mansion with an abusive man, a demonic
That's right.
spirit. It's not about
right.
the things, ladies and gentlemen. It's about
right.
God and having this relationship with him is what Parashan is really saying. It's about
Amen.
Building that relationship from inside out till you don't know that there's anything missing. You're
right.
not just saying some spiritual cliche, Parashan, like we hear people say, oh, I'm whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. But yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you so desperate? Why are you still, you know, you're not standing on
yeah.
the corner, but really you're standing on the corner, you know?
Right, absolutely.
You're selling yourself short. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're compromising
mm-hmm.
your spiritual standards and saying, well, you know, God, I'm going to try to make this work. I heard someone say to me the other day where they had all these things to do, and then they just asked God to bless them, to help them to get it done. I said, whoa, wrong prayer.
mm-hmm.
I said, you're doing it backwards. That's why you're exhausted.
Right.
You're toiling all night and catching nothing. I said, so here's what we do. We go to God and say, what is it? What is the agenda? What is it that you want me to do with this life? You gave me this life. I give it back to you. You tell me what to do with it. How do I live it out and not get caught up in all of the what we call normal things of living, the more normal way of life? In your book, my mama told me, Motherly Wisdom for Everyday Living. We're talking to Parashawn B. Hall. You can get this book at Amazon or over at her website at parashawn.com. And go there, and that's PERISEAN.com. Go there. Pick up your copy today. You'll be glad you did. In this book, she talks about her, these lessons from her mama. I like mama. That's what I call my mama. These lessons from my mama. Mama words to me. Mama on my name. Mama on forgiveness. Mama on beauty. Mama on motherhood. Mama my helper. Mama my biggest cheerleader. Mama's pet peeves. Which I want to get to mama's pet peeves here. Mama steered my course. Mama's lessons, my blessings. Oh, that's cute. Mama's frequent sayings. Mama on men and her children. Wow. Mama on trusting God. Mama on tithing, on loneliness, hair, hygiene, dignity, dying. Even when she was dying, she ordered her to live, ordered me to live. Remaining calm in a storm, follow through on leadership, on being on time. Mama's passion for words. Mama didn't tell me this. And a salutation to mother's courage. Kind words about mama and how mama lives on and the mama I remember. Parashawn, talk to us about, because we're not going to give the whole book away here, but we want to talk about mama's pet peeves.
Oh, Lord. Well, the thing that my mother hated the most were just, she used to call it uncouth behavior, for one. So, you know, even if it was burping, you just didn't do that out loud. Manners were big in our house, and they're big with me. So that's an example of one of her pet peeves. Also, because she was a lover of words, the mispronunciation of words. I used to go around talking about, you know, I mean, you know, unless you're wired this way, it wouldn't even occur to you, you know. But she helped my wiring when it came to words. So I would say, you know, it's in Psalms 103. And she would tell me, it's Psalm 103. And then, you know, there would be another word. I would say often. No, it's often.
Okay.
So when it came to grammar, things of that nature, and then because she was a musician, choir, church musician, when choirs mispronounced names, when enunciation was really bad in choirs, like, you know, I pointed out words like the word worship, and many choirs said worship instead of worship. And, you know, just things like that, really. And then the worst pet peeve of all of hers was to see anybody mistreated. Mm-hmm. You know, my mother was a warm and winsome woman, loving. But if you ever wanted to get on her bad side, you mistreat somebody. It didn't matter who it was. And I pointed out an example in the book where we were the visiting church choir, and after the service, my mother witnessed this older man just really talking to this young girl. And the more he talked to her, the more upset the young girl became. And my mother just stood there in the middle of, at the doorway of the sanctuary. And they were inside the sanctuary. And everybody else had left out of the sanctuary. And I was standing there with my mother, like, watching her get angry. And I was like, Mother, let's go, let's go. No, I am not going anywhere, is what she said. And she looked, and once she realized that this young girl was being abused by whatever this man was saying, my mother started calling for the pastor out loud. Where is the senior pastor? You know, where? I was like, Mother, be quiet. She, you know, I was in college at the time, but she's like, she did not stop until she got, and this is a well-known pastor, she did not stop until she got all the way to the pastor, the senior pastor's office. She didn't call for the deacon, so by the time she told him what happened, the pastor came out and addressed this man and handled that situation. But she hated to see anybody. She was a fighter, and her name, Sandra, her name was Sandra Catherine Bolden Hall, and the word Sandra, the name Sandra means defender of men.
Okay.
And that was definitely her. So those are some of her pet peeves.
Wow. Well, you know what? I can respect every one of those pet peeves because God knows I feel the same way. Those, especially, particularly the one with hurting people, people who hurt people. I can see myself doing the scourging cord, going through the temple. I can see myself taking out the sword, cutting off somebody's ear.
Yes.
You know, there's just no cause for it. I don't care who you are, how much money you have, or what. People who abuse people need to be dealt with.
Absolutely.
You know, Jesus spoke as they were able to hear. And if they cannot hear the word, then they need to hear something else. You know, hear the
Hello.
Sword.
That's it. That's
they need
it.
To hear. Talk about some of Mama's frequent sayings.
Some of her frequent sayings. Well, she was kind of funny. Mother was funny. One of the things I remember her saying is that, you know, your habits follow you. So, you know, I remember being in middle school and going home and telling people, you know, so-and-so's locker was just a mess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would come home and tell her, and she's like, well, you know, your habits follow you. And then she talked to me about, as a young girl, I was probably in second, third grade, my mother started talking to me about a woman's reputation. And she told me, she said, your reputation follows you wherever you go. And she talked about how the difference between a woman's reputation and a man's reputation. And how, you know, men would be able to, in society, would be able to get away with more. But once a woman's reputation is impugned or marred, it's hard to get rid of.
Right.
So, you know, things like watch the company you keep with another. You know, and don't, you know, some of these things I thought my mother wrote, but I found out later they were in hymns.
Right, that
they
quite
were in
common.
The Bible. You know, yeah. Some of them in the Word. I was like, I thought my mother was the originator of, what was that one? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And I found out years, I was like, I thought my mother wrote that. But she was always big on that. But, yeah, just some of those things that come to mind right now.
Well, what about the things your mama didn't tell you?
Ooh, Lord. Now, I'm a singer, and I'm having a little fun. But, yeah, that hits home. Some of the most costly lessons in my life I did not learn that I learned after Mother went to heaven. So, what she didn't tell me. Well, I was sheltered. You know, with me being her only girl, she brought me in close. There were just certain things she just didn't believe I should know about life.
Mm.
You know, she taught me, I always believe because the way she taught me, you know, I always see the good. I was trained to see the good in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't trained to see where I needed to be cautious. So I learned some very, very costly lessons in trusting too much with people. And my mother, she didn't teach me self-love because I grew up in an environment of caring for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still learning to do that,
mm-hmm.
you know. But when we don't love ourselves and we're too busy concentrating on others, it really gets us off track and out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the biggest cost of, and it's not that, you know, my mother, you know how mothers are. They want the best for their children. They want to protect them. She didn't believe that we should have to go through anything. You know, they don't want any scars on their children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
that sort of, they don't want any hurt, harm, or danger coming to their children. And, you know, of course I would have heartaches through life, and she would tell me at that time, she said, well, you know, Mama wish she could fix this. You know, mothers really want to be in the place of, they want to take on the pain of their children, but they can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, let me, I need to get back on track here.
No. You are traveling into that space where, let me tell you where it turned. It turned,
yes,
when you said that you were still working on learning how to love yourself.
Yes.
And that brought back some additional memories. I sensed that. So that brought back some additional memories, and you began to draw some things out there. But, and you're so right, one of the things that each and every one of us must learn to do, it is paramount. We will
mm-hmm.
not do any great works. We will only do breadcrumb stuff rather than taking the whole loaf, because we do not take time for the most important person God gave us. That's us, ourselves.
That's right. Right.
And
right.
For God so loved, hey, Papa, for God so loved himself, some say,
mm-hmm,
that he gave his only begotten son, that if Faye
mm-hmm.
would receive him, Faye would have everlasting life, not when I die life, but everlasting life now. He didn't
That's
die
right.
in the future. He died over 2,000 years ago. So everlasting life was made available to me then and present in me when I received Christ as my Lord
Amen.
And Savior. So
Amen.
Self-love is extremely important. Sadly, Parashan, many
mm-hmm.
circles, religious circles, have taught people and ingrained this in the psyche of people to not do for yourself.
Right, right, right.
That you need to always be, always try to help others, always try to be a blessing to somebody else
mm-hmm.
until you burn out. And you've got no more to give, and you go home, go home
mm-hmm.
depressed, feeling isolated mm-hmm. and alone after
right.
having given out to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That is not
right.
God's way. God's
right.
way is pamper yourself.
Right.
Take a bubble bath. Take a vacay.
Yes.
Sometimes
yes.
you can vacate at home. That means vacation. That means vacate anything that's causing additional stress in your life.
Thank you.
Separate yourself from some Twittering if you have to. It's Facebook. Whatever you need to do, except don't
right.
stop listening to this show. And
right.
don't stop following us around on social media. But take time to
mm-hmm.
love on you. Some of us don't even know ourselves. That's why we can't love ourselves. We don't even know who we are. We've never met
mm-hmm.
ourselves. I did a meeting last night with some women in it, and God gave me this whole new thing to do. We've been doing Empower Me clinics, but now we're doing what we call intimacy, taking time to really be still long enough to get to know who's inside of you, to get to
right.
know the Father who lives inside. And he wants us to know who we are so that we can know who he is.
Absolutely.
And we cannot give away what we don't possess. We are so valuable, so wonderful,
mm-hmm.
so fearfully and wonderfully made that he wants us to get to know our own selves and feel good about us. You mentioned being that little girl. And
yes.
saying that,
yes.
and being in that place of laughter and knowing how fun this journey of life can be.
Yes, yes.
But because of circumstances and situations and teachings, well-meaning teachers, we've
mm-hmm.
become slaves to time.
Come on.
And we're always hey. Trying to beat the clock. Because we got so much to do. And I taught the women last night, I said, you only have three things to do every day. Three. They looked at me, what are you talking about? Three? You can't.
mm-hmm.
You don't know my life. And how could you, of all people, say we have three things to do every day? I said, you only have three important things to do every day. One for morning, one at noon, and one at night. I don't know what those three are. But
okay.
there are only
mm-hmm.
three that God will give you.
Mm.
And I said, those three are the most important. And I said, once, and then he'll tell you when to do those three. what time you do the morning, what time you're, what you're doing in the noon, what you're doing in the afternoon, what are you doing? I said, and everything else will fit into the slots where they're supposed to be.
That is right.
I said, multitasking is a deceiving spirit. Our minds were created to make one thing. Paul said, this one thing I do.
Yes.
This focus thing I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize because the devil wants us to be distracted. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. We wrote a little book called Fatal Distraction. He wants to take our minds off of off the main thing and get us over here. And what, and Parashan, what we're doing is really good-looking stuff.
See.
It really looks important and valuable. I mean, we're hitting platforms, we're writing books, we're singing songs, we're dancing, we're building organizations, we're building ministry, we're building businesses, and we're just doing and doing and doing and doing and doing and empty.
Right.
Because we can't even breathe. We can't even get in touch with our own breath.
Right, right.
We don't even know our own sound.
Right, right. And see, that's
that
I believe. Yes, totally, totally. And that's what I believe my purpose is all about, helping people to realize who they are, who they were created to be. I call myself a fit specialist.
Ah, okay.
A fit specialist. So, you know, God has a place for everyone. You know, we are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, but we also have earthly places where he's called us. You know, we have to place our foot of authority on. So we have to know what that specific place is. My place is not your place, you know, but once we hit that place, we fit it. We don't have to force it because it fits. When it fits, it fits. You don't have to force a fit. And so my passion is, as God works with me, to continue to discover who I am, to discover, to explore, and to expose who I am.
Yes.
You know, he will use me, continue to use me to help other people do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I did something pretty risky, and he's getting me to step out a bit more because I'm one of the ones, I'm well aware of many of the gifts and talents and all of what God has given me to do, but sometimes I've gotten in my own way. You know, like, oh, I don't know if I need to do this, you know. And then, but it's at a point in my life, I'm like, okay, it's time, it's now or never. So that's where I am now. So I decided, you know, God's given me the ability to inspire people. And one of my life mottos is, and slogan, I'm not sure what it's called, but it's what inspires me, is what I'm called to do. It is inspiring men and women to love unconditionally, to hope unashamedly, and to live authentically. That's what I live by. And so, you know, we have to live by the lesson. God's going to use that lesson on us first before he releases us. So, but I sing, I write, and so I, you know, I've been kind of acting a little shy and scared about some things. But I've had a few people, I try to put something out a little at a time, but when I put the right thing out, it goes out in a big way. Like I did a video of just singing to encourage someone else. And when I did that, I said, okay, I'm going to put it on Facebook. And it was just so scary for me to do that. That video got over 1,000 views. And then people were... they were putting a demand. They were like, when are you going to sing again? You know, that was earlier this year. And I'm like, it took me months. That was like in February. I just released another video on Facebook. It took me that long, but I'm like, okay, it's not going to take me that long anymore because obviously this is some of what I've been called to do to help people.
Absolutely.
So I did another video. And it was very inspiring and motivational. So I put it out. It helped me. You could see the girl in me come out.
Right.
I put it on Facebook, and people, you know, it's still being viewed. All praises to God. People, it's gone viral. And people are like, okay, are you going to do this every Monday? Because I put out, you know, we need inspiration on Monday. We need motivation on Monday because everybody working a job, they're like, oh, it's Monday again, you know.
Uh-huh.
Can you help me? So I released it on this past Monday, and now people are asking for it every Monday. So, and I love doing it, and it's an indication to me, okay, I'm in the right zone.
That's right, exactly. You keep on doing that because,
yes,
you know, people, many times people will let you know what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
There will
It'll
be validation.
Confirmed.
Yeah, they'll confirm
mm-hmm.
it. God will confirm it with signs following, and you needed that to
yes.
say, okay, come on with
right.
it, come on.
Right.
Come on. Well, Parashant, it has been such a blessing being with you today and talking to you about My Mama Told Me, Motherly Wisdom for Everyday Living. And
I've been blessed,
folks,
too, Dr. Faye. Thank you
yeah.
so much.
And, folks, you can get this book right now on Amazon or at Parashant.com, Parishan.com, Parashant.com. You can get that right there on her website. So go pick up your copy today and share it with your friends. I think this is a great share book. You know, get a copy, buy extra copies, give it to people for gifts, birthday gifts, Christmas presents, or just give it to them, just period. Doesn't have to be a holiday. Make it a holiday, just an act of kindness. And share this book with them. My Mama Told Me, Motherly Wisdom for Everyday Living by Parashant B. Hall, located at Amazon and also on Parashant, Parashan.com. Parashant, any closing remarks? And then I want you to do a word of prayer, please.
Well, I just want to encourage everybody to find out who they are, you know, and don't look outside. You know, don't let external motivation move what's internally in you. Just look inside to find out who you are. And, of course, that is through Christ Jesus. He is the maker, our preserver, our keeper. He knows more about us than we could ever know. I just want to encourage everybody to seek him to find out who you are and where your place is in life. Because once you hit that place, you're unstoppable. And your life will be so fulfilling, and you'll be able to impact so many people for the kingdom of God, which is what this is all about. So.
Amen, amen. And there you have it. Parashant, if you would pray for our listening
yes.
audience.
Okay. Father, we thank you, and we honor you, Lord, and we just recognize you as our Father, our God, our Maker, our keeper, our deliverer, our provider, Lord. If we can just remember your name, God, who you are to us, Lord, we belong to you, Lord. And for those that don't belong to you, Lord, I pray that you would draw them now by your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for this time. I thank you that you're blessing Dr. Faye, Lord, with her ministry. We thank you. We give you glory for what you're doing. I pray that every word that's shared on these airwaves, Lord, let it all be glorifying to you. Let it draw all men unto you, Lord. And we just want to trust you, Lord. We're trusting you now, and we're committing to become who you called us to be, Lord. We don't want to get caught up in doing, Lord. Let us get caught up in being, Lord. And that is being who you created us to be. And a lot of times that requires us to be still. You said, be still and know that you are God. So that means to me everything that I need to know is only in you.
Yes, Lord.
You are our source, oh God. Everything else is a resource. Without the source, there is no resource,
mm-hmm.
Lord. And if we go on our own way, Lord, we're lost like a ship, Lord. And we know that if it had not been for you, the Lord who was on our side, Lord, where would we be, Lord?
Yes.
Lord, but help us to concentrate. Give us the grace, your grace. Help us to receive and recognize your grace for living, for loving, and for mm-hmm. being. And we thank you, Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus' name.
In
Amen.
Jesus' name. Well, thank you. Parashant B. Hall, our guest today. Her book is
thank
My
you,
Mama
Dr.
Told
Faye.
Me. Motherly Wisdom for Everyday Living. Go get your copy today. And don't forget to share this broadcast link with your network of friends across social media. We know it's been a blessing to you, and especially if you know of a woman who is in an abusive relationship, let this be an encouragement for her. Be a friend. Share this broadcast, and you will be able to assist her in making a decision to launch out in faith. God bless you, Parashan, for being here, and God
Thank
bless
you, Dr.
ladies
Faith.
And gentlemen, for listening in on another Empower Me Now. I'm Dr. Faye. We love you, and we'll see you next time. God bless you now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.